The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. My guest today is BDSM educator Molina Williams. If you've listened to the show before, you know that we talk very explicitly about sex pretty much every week. However, I do feel like I want to tell you that the topics we're going to talk about today are very taboo. And I think it's important for me to first talk about BDSM for listeners who may not be familiar with it. So, BDSM is actually a combination of several shorter acronyms. B&D stands for bondage and discipline. Pretty self-explanatory. SM is the common abbreviation for sadism and masochism or sadomasochism. Sadism is when people enjoy inflicting intense sensations, pain, or discomfort on other people. And masochism is when you enjoy receiving those intense sensations, pain, or discomfort. DS represents dominance and submission, or a dominant-submissive dynamic, relationship. And a dominant basically runs the show, exerts control over a submissive, and may direct the submissive to complete tasks, behave in a certain way, follow rules, or submit to various kinds of SM. A submissive gives up control and surrenders to the dominant, complies with the dominant's wishes, follows orders, I mean, ideally follows orders, and has an investment in pleasing his or her dominant. And some people also use terms like SM, kink, and leather interchangeably with BDSM. People do BDSM for the same wide variety of reasons that people have sex, including for pleasure and connection. Just as some people love oral sex and other people love to have sex in the woods, some people love BDSM. Plenty of folks have told me that they believe it's just how they're wired. I mean, I can't tell you the number of stories I've heard from people where they tell me the first time a lover held them down or the first time a person put a collar on them or first time someone got spanked. And many experienced a real visceral reaction to these experiences before they even had language to describe what they were doing or even knew that other people out there were doing similar things. For some, BDSM can include genital stimulation and sex, different kinds of sex, and that's what also makes it pleasurable and orgasmic. And for others, something like a good flogging and a good fucking doesn't necessarily have to go together for it to be really pleasurable and orgasmic. Okay, so consent is one of the most significant elements of kink. It's what separates kink from abuse. And people negotiate before they do some of these activities, and they talk about their limits and their boundaries. And consent for me is defined as explicit, informed, verbal approval after you negotiate, where you can give a confident and secure yes. Yes, I want to be here. Yes, I want to do this. Yes, I want to go on this journey with you. Today's topic is race play. And race play is not what I would consider BDSM 101. Race play is when kinky people play out either racist scenarios or use racial epithets or eroticize racial power dynamics. For example, I've watched scenes where people could role play a plantation owner and a slave, a geisha and a client, a skinhead and a victim. And so as we talk about this and other kinds of taboo play, I realize that it may offend some people and it may trigger some people. It might make you uncomfortable or confused or angry or turned on or some combination, and all of those reactions are okay. I hope you stay with us because I think this is a really important discussion to have, but I realize that some of you might have to step away. And today's show is also live, which means you can actually join in and give us your questions, your comments, your thoughts. And we'll be taking your calls in the second half of the show. You can always call 866-472-5788 or hit us up on Twitter or Facebook with your questions and comments. So my guest, Melina Williams, is a writer, actress, BDSM educator, storyteller, and an award-winning executive pervert. She was named Ms. San Francisco Leather in 2009 and served as International Ms. Leather 2010. She wrote two chapters on role play for my book, The Ultimate Guide to Kink. She's the author of The Toy Bag Guide to Playing with Taboo, and she's the co-author with Lee Harrington of the new book, Playing Well with Others, Your Guide to Discovering, Exploring, and Navigating the Kink, Leather, and BDSM Communities, which hits the streets September 1st. Melina is a featured educator with the Kink Academy, where you can see clips of her speaking on various and sundry topics. And she's a columnist for Sex Is magazine. She's been exploring kink since 1993, active in BDSM and leather communities since 1996, and she's been presenting classes since 1998. She speaks at leather, BDSM, and kink events across the United States, Europe, and Canada on lots of different topics. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Melina.
Hey, I feel like I have so much to live up to now.
You do. You do.
Like so epic. So
take it seriously. Okay. So you wrote two fantastic chapters on fantasy role play for my book, The Ultimate Guide to Kink. And I consider race play a kind of role play. So I thought we should first start by talking about what do you love about role play?
Well, I have to say I have a little bit of a cheat on this because I'm also an actor and I've been performing since I was five. So my entire life has really been about performance and about theater and about manifesting different characters. So to me, that always came very naturally. What I love about role play in the milieu of BDSM especially is that it gives us even more freedom. I mean, when you're doing your kinky thing and you're getting spanked and you're getting tied up, being who you are is really fantastic. What is even more fantastic is when you have the opportunity to pretend and bust out your inner child and say, okay, I'm not just me being tied up. I am the captured princess being tied up, and you are the evil dragon who has kidnapped me and will do terrible dragony things to my innocent, pliant body. You know, and so it gives you this other window into yourself and into other characters that gives people freedom. You know, there are many people who are really inhibited about inhabiting their own bodies. And so role playing gives you the opportunity to say, you know, this is a fantasy. This is something I am doing as this character. And so what's truly fantastic about that is that you have an additional level of permission to do something you might not otherwise do. And so I find that to be really, really enticing.
I mean, in some ways you can be someone else, and I like this idea of permission. So I didn't ask you to pull my hair harder. The princess asked you.
Exactly. It's this fantastic gateway drug because if you're feeling really intimidated, and I think it's especially important for people who are dominants or sadists because most of us are acculturated to not hurt people. And so the thought that you, as an upright, upstanding citizen and a feminist and whatever else, would never, you know, quote unquote, hit a woman because, you know, men don't hit women, or hit another man because, you know, women don't do that. It's outside of what's polite. So when you inhabit that character, it doesn't matter what the rules of society say, because that person, that evil, dastardly, wicked cad, is going to do what the hell they want regardless. And so for dominance as well as submissions, it gives you this amazing permission to inhabit a really wicked persona.
And I think a lot of people are interested in role play, but they don't know where to begin, or they feel kind of silly doing it. I mean, what tips do you give to beginners about how to get into role play?
The first thing I recommend is the same thing you have to learn as an actor, is that feeling silly is a sign that you're really doing something right. If you feel absolutely goofy and stupid and awkward, that's fantastic, because that means that you've taken the first step towards doing it, because inhabiting another character does feel awkward. We're not taught as adults to play. And so the first thing I remind people is, how was it when you were younger and you didn't worry so much about what people thought? When you played Cowboys and Indians, when you played Star Trek, when you played whatever it was you were playing, right? When you did this kind of activity, you weren't necessarily worrying about if you felt silly. You were worrying about telling the story.
Right.
And so what I love to tell people is, if you feel silly, that's great. Keep on going, because what happens is eventually you acclimate to that silliness, and then you're more able to invest in the character. I encourage people to write fantasy stories and to indulge their inner sadist, their inner masochist, their inner victim, their inner cad, whatever, and tell themselves a story. What would that fantasy look like if they were to do it? You don't have to plan it all out, but giving yourself that moment to say, what would it be like if I were the captured princess, if I were the evil knight, what might that feel like? And then once you see your feelings and your thoughts on paper, it gives you a little bit of distance. And I think you're then able to say, okay, this is what it looks like from the outside. That's not so bad. It's actually kind of hot. And then approaching it again from the standpoint of, this is a story I want to tell. I want to tell the story with my lover or lovers or partner or play partners or whomever. And again, giving yourself that permission to indulge that fantasy, to indulge that connection with another person as another person.
That is just great advice. I mean, I think we don't have a lot of spaces in our life to explore this stuff. And I feel like we did it when we were kids, but then we grow up and all of a sudden we're supposed to behave, like you said, like upstanding citizens.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is just the tip of the iceberg, but we've got to take a commercial break already. But commercials are important, because that's why we're still on the air. We're going to hear from some of our fabulous sponsors. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dig into some taboo role play with Melina Williams. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle, and so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking to BDSM educator Melina Williams. But first, I want to thank one of my fabulous sponsors, the Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everybody. Check them out at smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off your order. We're also taking your calls because we're live. So you can call us at 866-472-5788. Lots of you have already posted questions for Melina on Twitter and Facebook. So keep doing that. Our Twitter is at Sex Out Loud Radio, facebook.com/AskTristan. Before the break, we talked a little bit about role play. You also write and teach about taboo role play, which includes things like kidnapping, interrogation, playing with weapons, rape fantasies, age and incest play, and race play. Let's talk about
all the light, fluffy topics.
Yes. Let's talk about race play. I defined it at the top of the hour, but how do you define it?
I define it as any type of scene that encompasses the actual or perceived racial identity or background of the participants as a vital aspect of the scene. And I say real or perceived because I want to make this clear. In the same way that this is a role play, it's not necessary for you to actually inhabit the body of the character that you're playing in the scene in order to have that fantasy. And I know this is probably not going to sound politically correct, but in my opinion, if you want to explore what it might be like to be a prisoner of war in World War II, it's not of necessity that you be of European ancestry in order to explore that. I feel like people should have the permission to explore that and check that out, even if that's not particularly their background. So it falls under that very vast umbrella, and it's going to be slightly different for anyone who does it.
But there is a power dynamic there too, because that just sounded pretty like, let's just celebrate our ethnicity in a scene. I mean, that's what I was like, oh yeah, it could just be about race. But you're a woman of color who enjoys not just being a submissive, but being a slave, which might, you know, for some people raise their eyebrows. So
like kinky perverts even, non-kinky folks, you know, the default world people sort of go, oh, it's all this, you know, kinky whips and chain stuff. But people who are acclimated already to kink will raise their eyebrows. I mean, when I first got involved in the leather community, there were very few people of color. I quote unquote grew up in leather and in kink in the Bay Area. And when I first started going to events, there were vanishingly few people of color in the scene. And that's changed, thankfully, and there has become a more diverse the group of people that you'll see in the scene. But what I found amazing was that some of the most harsh criticism I received was from other people of color, specifically other black people, who said, how dare you use the word slave and call, you know, and say you want to call someone your master, considering our history in this country as descendants of slaves. And don't get me wrong, this was not something I partied into and was like, woo, awesome, I'm a slave. you know, I had a great deal of guilt. I felt uncomfortable. I wondered if even by having these fantasies, I was somehow, you know, disrespecting the history, and I was setting our race back. And even now, Dr. King was twirling in his grave, you know, in indignation at my horrible behavior. What I came to realize for myself was that part of what my sexual freedom embraced was a freedom to not judge my fantasies and the freedom to say, yes, this might be incredibly fucked up, but it's a part of who I am. And if I deny it and if I squash it down, I might as well live in a closet for the rest of my life. It's just that simple. It is an organic part of me. I didn't go out and seek it out. It was something that came from within. It came from my fantasies. And I feel like it's a worse sin to say I'm ashamed of something and I'm not going to do it because of shame and fear than it is to say this is difficult, this is sticky, this is ugly, but I'm going to explore it because it is an organic and true part of who I am.
And I'm wondering if in any of your race play, you sort of turn the tables on history, let's say. I mean, is there ever a time when the slave rises up and sort of takes control of the master?
Absolutely is.
And so, I mean, is some of it sort of a rewriting in the same way that people may do really rough scenes to reclaim, you know, their own agency? Is that part of it?
That is definitely part of it. I know I met a couple years back who the woman was Native American, and her girlfriend was just super whiter than Lily White of whiteness. Like, what did she describe herself? Like transparent blue white. And they had done this sort of like captured settler scalping scene and never told anyone about it because they were so ashamed and so horrified. And what she said was that she felt like she had this permission to unleash this anger that she'd had. And as she's saying this, she's sort of blushing and stammering. And then as we had the conversation continue, what I finally said was, look, having those feelings is, of course, absolutely natural and okay. What's amazing is that in the bounds of this safe space that you negotiated with a lover whom you trust, you were able to unleash that, play with it, let that monster out to scream around the room for a while, and then let it go. And in some small incremental way, she had some peace with the anger that she'd felt and learned to walk beside it versus resisting it and fighting it. And so that is absolutely a critical and vital aspect of that type of play.
But for you, being a slave also translates to being a slave, right, to being submissive, to bending to someone else's will, to wearing a collar. So how do you reconcile that for yourself as a woman of color?
I reconcile that in that I feel that my freedom is hard won. And if I say to myself, I have this desire, this is who I am, to deny it because of my skin color is to act against my own best interest. And it's funny because I came out to my mom years back. And it was, you know, mom, I'm a pervert. And you think the first thing that your mom is going to say is, oh, my God, my baby, you're getting hurt. You're going to be in danger. The first thing she said was, how do you deal with the idea of calling someone master or calling someone slave when all that's happened to us? And I explained, as I just mentioned, that part of the reality is what happened to African Americans in this country was not consensual. We did not buy into that. That was not about pleasure. There is a vast ocean of difference between someone who eroticizes being owned and being controlled by someone else and someone who is actually enslaved against their will and for their life in a country where they can never acclimate because due to the color of their skin, they are automatically marked forever as a second-class citizen. There is an ocean of difference there. I can never know what actual slavery is like. I pray to never be in a position where I am actually enslaved. My erotic life does embrace the delicious sensation of being owned by someone, of being controlled by someone. But at the core, as you mentioned at the top of the show, it's about consent. It's because it's what I want. If it ever was because it was what someone else wanted and they tried to impose that on me, we would have some freaking words. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a very different
right
thing.
Now, you said your erotic life. So I also want you to explain, you know, what this all has to do with sex for you. Why is this sexy and what is the turn on?
What is super sexy for me is that I tend to be in my head a lot. I have maybe 75 or 80 brain hamsters churning and running on wheels all the time in my head. It's just the way I roll. When I'm in a situation where I feel under someone's control, in someone's power, dominated by someone, all those motherfuckers are quiet. They just take a chill pill. They're on coffee break. They're out back smoking, you know. So the capacity to truly relax and step away from myself is hot for me because it's not something that happens very often. And I can't say that there's necessarily a cause and effect here, but I know that the first time I experienced a situation where I had a really rough sexual encounter and this guy threw me up against a wall and like whipped off his belt and pulled it around my neck and started choking me and spanking my ass, the next day my gut reaction was, I need to get him his coffee and I need to pick up his laundry and I need to do anything he wants me to do because that was so hot. And when someone does stuff like that to you, that's your response. And so it felt really organic for me to have that reaction. You talked about wiring. I think that that is a path that is in my brain, is that that type of overpowering sexual dominance triggers within me this intense desire to obey and submit, and that turns me on. Because it takes a remarkable person to get me there. And by the time I find and connect with those people and they are able to reach inside my head and push those buttons, it's hot. You know, it's like the sapiosexuals, people who are turned on by the minds of other folks.
Right.
Well, I really am. That gets me going.
And this leads to a good question. We had a great question on Twitter from Mr. Sex Smith, who says, what do you look for in a dominant? Great question.
Laundry list. I will say at the core, as I mentioned, it's someone who can get around my defenses. First and foremost, it's someone who is able to observe who I am and say, okay, I think I got it, and step in and take control. One of the hottest things about being submissive is that it's really vital and really critical for the dominant to pay fucking close attention to the people who are submitting to them. And so that focus and that energy directed towards me is something that's really important. I can't even begin to submit to someone if I don't feel like they're not on the same page, that they're not really paying very close attention to me. So I look for someone who is smart, in some way cleverer than me, and able to maintain focus and able to direct that time and energy towards this power exchange dynamic. That is incredibly sexy for me. You know, skill sets, if they can throw rope, if they can tie you up, all that stuff is secondary to someone having the self-confidence and the power and the focus to say, yeah, you, I want you kneeling at my feet. What I want is to own you completely. And that turns me on. You know, that's the core thing. From there, everything else is really gravy and negotiable, but that's the deep core.
Okay, we've got lots more questions to get through, but we've got to take another break and pause to hear from our sponsors, including WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Go to we-vibe.com to find out all about it. Coming up, we will ask Melina your questions, which you've been posting like crazy, about race play and about her kinky life, after the break when we return.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. My guest today is BDSM educator Melina Williams, and we are talking about the controversial and provocative race play. Melina, you recently wrote a post on your blog, which, by the way, is called The Perverted Negress. About
I love how you pronounce that. That was lovely.
Okay. And it was about ending a relationship with a dominant and master of yours and taking back a collar you gave him and actually giving back the collar he gave you. I'm wondering if you'll just read a little section for us. I was really struck by this piece.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think it's really self-explanatory, so I'll just jump right in. Not too long ago, I was in the midst of a very emotionally and erotically charged scene, one that included a service element, and I was blissfully lost in the contact, the heat, the gorgeous obliteration of losing myself, even if just for a few hours, in the will and desire of someone else. As the connection became more intense, and as I found my body reacting ecstatically to the energy of that power exchange, I felt myself moving into that place where I feel so in tune with my submission that any word, any glance, or any movement from the person to whom I'm submitting sends me into an eddy of gorgeous obliteration. Every breath was theirs, every movement of my hands on their body was a prayer to the ephemeral bliss of that connection. And I had no words to communicate this, but I hoped my gaze was enough to say the things for which I had no words. As I looked up in a haze, the person to whom I was submitting leaned down and took my face and hand, whispering, "This is yours. You own this. It is always with you. Mine." I had always looked to my submission as something that someone had to activate, that I couldn't love or understand in the vacuum of being alone, but this was mine. Seemingly from nowhere, tears ran full and hot down my face, the fierce, joyous tears of recognition. Recognition that this was the new truth that I needed. I felt my own higher power move aside my defenses in order to let this truth resonate in the clouds of chaos that often swirl around my processing. Mine. I own it. This beautiful thing, this slavery, this submission. I can permit someone else to taste it. I can give myself body, mind, and spirit to another, and I can also know that I bring this energy to the table. When I own my submission, when I take responsibility for living in my authentic self, I become more fully me. And that is a miracle. And that is a blessing. And that is a gift.
One of the things I love about you is you're so fucking articulate about this stuff. But what I was struck by this piece is that I feel like there is a stereotype out there that people who are submissive in all ways at all times in their life. And this was such a sort of kick-ass empowered statement of submission. I hope you'll just speak a little bit about what it means. I mean, do you feel like you are submissive all the time to everyone, or is this a real specific dynamic with specific people?
For me in particular, it is absolutely not submissive to everyone. In fact, it's barely submissive to anyone. And what was remarkable for me about this encounter was that I realized that the submission was not something that I owed to anyone, that anyone magically pulled out of me, that they had this incredible power over me. It was that I contained this limitless energy that I could then tap into and share with someone. It is not about my rolling over like some doormat. It takes an unbelievable amount of strength to say what I want is to give my power to someone else and share that energy with them. It's not easy. We're not acculturated to do that. I will tell you, you know, growing up as a black woman, growing up as a feminist, there was no way it was ever all right to say, you are the boss of me. I want to submit to you. I want to belong to you. It was absolutely about self-preservation. It was absolutely about strength and having that focus and having that ability to move through the world on your own. And it was so fantastic for me to realize that it was also a measure of strength to say what I want and what I need looks dark and it looks scary and I still want it. And I'm going to have the ovaries to step forward and say, fuck all that. I'm taking it because it's mine. In the same way, my submission is mine. My sexuality is mine. No one gets to fucking tell me what I need to do for myself to keep myself happy, to keep myself emotionally safe and healthy is wrong. Fuck that. I'm not going to walk around feeling guilty and feeling bad, you know, because I want to wear a collar, because I want to kneel for someone. There's too much other shit that we're thrown every day. Too many messages. You're too fat. You're too ugly. You're too black. You're too white. You're too skinny. You're too whatever. I'm not going to add that to the pile. I'm done.
Yeah, it's like the shame game. Like, let's just shut down. If, you know, we're already experiencing so much sexual shame in our culture, to then shame yourself with all of these other layers.
Oh my God, yeah. Forget it.
Well, we've got a ton of questions from listeners. Cool. I want to get to them. We are also taking calls, everyone. So if you want to talk to Melina, now's your chance. You can call 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. We've got an interesting question from Twitter. I'm not going to out this person. Let me just say PC. Let's say PC asks you, because you travel to both in both the United States and in Europe, what differences do you see between the SM or fetish scene from between US and Europe?
I will say that I've traveled in the kink realm extensively in Western Europe. And I've noticed that the scene there is still on its beginner's legs, I feel, in terms of exploring things outside of fetish. The biggest and most amazing fetish parties, you know, you've got Torture Garden and all those sorts of things happen in Europe, huger and more amazing than anything we have in the U.S. But in terms of the master-slave community, in terms of the leather community, in a more pansexual sense, it's a lot younger. When I was in Amsterdam, I visited with an amazing men's group that's been around for 30-something years. And then when I said, well, where are the women? Where are the women at? There was not that same history in the kink and leather community of women having that type of access to alternative sexuality. So that was fascinating to me. When I was in Sweden, I was doing a class in speaking of taboo, and it was hilarious because, sidebar, I thought I was going to have to bridge this whole cultural gap in terms of like them understanding what race play was for people in the U.S. And as a joke, I'm standing among a group of other Swedish perverts, and I put a rag on my head, and they all turn to me and they're like, oh, don't start playing Aunt Jemima, you're going to get us in trouble. And I was like, oh my God, know who Aunt Jemima is. So they were familiar with that stereotype and had seen that type of representation. But what was super taboo there was the idea of women submitting to men, because there is a very strong sense of egalitarianism. And so female submission was the big taboo there for them. And we had an amazing discussion about that. Whereas in the U.S., women submitting to men is sort of, oh, whatever, par for the course. There in Sweden, it was very different. Talking about parties when I was in Ireland, and this was pretty much true across most of the places I went. They don't have the model of having dungeon monitors sort of policing everyone at play parties. Dungeon monitors being the people who sort of keep watch over the party, and if someone steps out of line or if someone needs help or someone calls a safe word, the dungeon monitors or DMs step in to take charge. That was not a model that they used. They sort of all self-policed, which I thought was actually kind of awesome and sort of old school. And there's a very strong sense of keeping the community tight-knit, whereas here, anyone can walk into any munch, munch being the sort of impromptu gathering. Sometimes
like
It's a social event. It's definitely not sexual. Generally, it happens in a restaurant. In Ireland, they happen in pubs. But they screen folks before they can even come to a munch. They have a phone conversation. The folks who run the munch sit and have coffee or a pint with them outside of the munch environment so that they can keep track of who's coming into their community. And so they're much more tight-knit in that way. And these were all things I found really kind of awesome and really kind of wonderful as I was traveling.
We've got another great question from Tales of the Pack on Twitter. How can a submissive and a non-dominant have fun in bed together?
Well, let me tell you, Missy. Message me after the show. I will say the wonderful thing about most people who are submissive is that the core of our sexuality is in pleasing our partner. And so if you like to be pleasured, and I think that's most of us, if you like to be pleasured, having a sexual encounter with someone who is submissive is incredibly relaxing. You know, you can say, you know, what I love is a back massage and then half an hour of you going down on me and then you rub my feet and bring me some chocolate. And for me as a submissive, I'm like, oh, my God, orders. This is fantastic. I know how to do this. And then at the end, I will get the pats on the head and I will know that I've done a good job. And so indulging your desire to be pampered and petted and taken care of, know that this is not something that makes you selfish. Know that it's something that makes you a person who's giving a remarkable gift to a partner who wants nothing more than to see you smiling and moaning in pleasure and delight at their menstruations. You know what that mean? You know what I mean? It's like the more that you enjoy yourself, the more that you indulge your own fantasy, the hotter it is for us. And I know that that's difficult for some folks, and I've hooked up with some people who've been like, wait, I don't really know how to tell you what to do. I'm like, you don't have to tell me what to do. Just let me know what you want. And leave it up to me to fulfill it. You don't have to order me around. For some people, that's weird. Let's just talk about what would feel good for you. What have you always wanted to have happen to you in bed that you've always been too shy to say? You know, and having a conversation in that way sort of draws people out. And at that point, I think people feel freer to say, oh, wow, yeah, laying here and being done is awesome. Or, oh, wow, yeah, I've always wanted to hold someone down. Or, you know, I've always wanted to just like cuddle and tickle and not have the pressure of having to have hours of, you know, throat pounding sex. So whatever it is that you desire, indulging that is a remarkable way to access the many pleasures that submissives have to offer.
I love that distinction. You don't have to order me around, but tell me what you want. I love that. Okay, we're taking another break, but we have a caller on the line. So stay on the line, caller, because we're going to take your question right after this break and a word from our sponsors. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We are talking today with Melina Williams, BDSM educator and author, about race play. I want to, before we go back into this, just have another shout out to one of my other sponsors, Astroglide, and remind you that Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Get a free sample. Find out how at astroglide.com. Okay. We have a caller on the line who wants to ask Melina a question, hopefully. So we are going to go to our caller. Are you there, Fiona?
Hi. I'm so glad that you took my call.
Hey, caller.
Hi. It's Fiona. Hi, Melina and Tristan.
Hi, Fiona.
I'm a switch, and I know that certainly not everyone is, but Melina, I'm wondering if you have other ways that you like to be sexual and play that are not only submissive, but that work other parts of you as well.
Let's define switch, because I didn't do top bottom at the top of the hour. So the top is the doer. They do stuff to, and the bottom gets the stuff done to them. And a switch is someone who takes on both roles, either from scene to scene, their role could switch, or even sometimes within a scene, someone can be a switch. The roles can switch. Okay. So go ahead.
Right. So, I know that for me as a multifaceted sexual being, there are some times that I, I'm stammering because I'm like, oh my God, should I say this? There's sometimes that I really just want to be done. You know, there is a lot about submission that's hot for me in doing for someone else, in serving someone else and pleasuring someone else. And, I hooked up with a friend of mine recently and they were like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want you to do me. I want you to just like flip me around like a rag doll. Do stuff to me and make me come until I can't stand up and I need a Gatorade IV drip. So for me, indulging the part of me that is selfish, and I mean selfish in the best way, in that it's focused on myself, is really wonderful. And I know that that does echo and shadow the dynamic of the switch who's able to, you know, be the one doling out the sensation and be the one receiving it. And I say receiving it not as though it's passive, because reception is active. We've all been with partners who are not good at receiving. And so for me, it's important to remember that receiving sexual pleasure and receiving sensation is an active task. And I am a very active receptor, if I do say so myself. And so being able to indulge that in a situation where I let go of the idea that my submission is all about giving everything with no payback, and sometimes just say, you know what, I'm going to be the one getting it, so bring it. Yeah, I love that.
Thanks for your question. That was a great one. We've got another question on Twitter from Taz, and this is quite timely. Taz writes, what books would you suggest to someone who just finished 50 Shades of Grey and now thinks they want to be a submissive?
Well, I will say that there are not a lot of books about actually going into getting involved in the community. My dear friend Lee Harrington and I just finished writing a book called Playing Well with Others that Tristan mentioned at the top. The full title is Playing Well with Others, Your Field Guide to Discovering, Exploring, and Navigating the Kink, Leather, and BDSM Communities. And what's so great about what we've tried to do here, I say great because it is, it's awesome, I'm so excited about it, is that it gives you a roadmap for discovering where you can actually learn about kink and SM, how you can meet other folks. And so it gives you an active path. Because fantasy is really hot, but having an active path through which you can seek out your desires is, I think, really kind of fantastic and kind of awesome. There are some books that you can read that have to do with discovering kink. There's SM 101 that was written by Jay Wiseman a while back, and that has some helpful hints in it. A book that really changed my life was Different Loving, which was the first depiction I saw of a black woman who was also submissive. And that really changed my life for the better. And I realized, oh, I'm not the only black woman who wants to submit. Yay. And I feel really great about that. And if you want some more kinky porn, I would suggest the Marketplace books by Laura Antoniou, because they're really well written and really coherent and really have a quite lovely construction of a fantasy world that can help feed those fantasies. But starting off by getting on your feet and saying, yes, this is what I want to do, and coming and finding and exploring our community, I think is the best first step, because once you have the validation of talking to other people and seeing that you're not alone, it's so, it fills my heart. Every time I go to a munch, every time I go to a party and I see hundreds of other kinky people, I'm going later this summer to this camp in the woods called Fet Fest, which is like hundreds and hundreds of perverts getting together to say, we're perverts and we're doing this perverted stuff. And it's people of all stripes, you know, because Fet Fest isn't limited. And what's amazing about that is that just being around all those perverts is so great. So my recommendation, read my book, because you should. And then come out and join us, because we're ready. We're here. We've been doing this for a while, some of us, and we're delighted to show you the ropes, so to speak, pun intended.
You know, and I've read your book, and I really do think it's incredible. And one of the things that I think is so great is that it answers all these questions for newcomers about, like, what to expect.
Yeah.
When they go to a social event versus a play party versus a weekend conference. And there's a lot about etiquette. There's also just a lot. There's this sort of gentle hand that's kind of holding you through all of these. I mean, I felt like the tone was right on. It's really accessible. And I don't know of any other book that's like it, because I feel like we have a lot of skills books.
Yes,
of course,
we do.
You forgot to mention The Ultimate Guide to Kink. Which
I'm
is
a
another,
terrible person.
Another
I deserve
great,
a
another
spanking.
Great book that Molina is in. But, you know, we are almost out of time, so I don't think we can take any more questions. But there was a question, which was, I thought, really funny on Twitter about how to flirt with someone when you're shy. There's this question on Twitter. And I thought, oh, that's really funny, because you're teaching a class Tuesday, September 11th called Playing Well with Others, Flirting for Kinksters. And it's going to be at Good Vibrations in San Francisco. And you should come. So give us a little preview of that, and make it quick.
Basically, play to your strengths. If you are a deeply shy person and get tongue-tied in front of that hottie, write them a note and give it to them and run away. Give them, say, hi, I think you're hot. Here's my email address. Here's my Skype number. Call me by. If you are a suave and debonair person, you know, chat them up. Do what you do best, and know that your awkwardness is your secret superpower, because the more authentic you are, the hotter you are, period. End of story. That's all I got to say.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thank you so much for being on the show, Molina. I've got to have you back on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was delightful.
I also want to thank the people that make this show possible, who include my fabulous engineer, Justin, my associate producer, Raymond, Epifora, who pitched in today from heyepifora.com. My announcer, Cooper, who's from Life on the Swing Set, another great podcast, and my executive producer, Karen Dana. Melina Williams has two books from Greenery Press, The Toy Bag Guide to Playing with Taboo and Playing Well with Others. That book is coming out September 1st. You can find out more about her at melina.com. Follow her on Twitter at Melina, M-O-L-L-E-N-A. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Just click on the link for episode resources. Tune in next week when Sex Out Loud will be live in Los Angeles, and my guests will be adult film stars Danny Wilde and Lily LeBeau, talking about making artsy porn, being in love, and their new venture together, which is Hotel LeBeau. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex and kink and role play and fantasies and dominance and submission and Molina's book. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.